20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the four-year anniversary edition. It's crazy to say, but 4 years ago, we kind of started doing this all together. So I'm Steve Peretz, as always, joined by Dusty Evely, Sarah Kelleher. Guys, we've already hit meltdown level. We've already hit trade talks. Like, oh my God, I don't even know where to go. And the Super Bowl hasn't even happened. But before we even get into that stuff, Dusty, how are you doing, my friend?
Steve, I'm doing lovely. I find it best in these times of the season. I disassociate completely. I take things as they are and go, I can't control this. There's nothing I can do about this. I will choose to just kind of laugh or not ignore it, but just not let this impact me. And it's done wonders for my mental health. It's just been tremendous. So, I mean, you know, we've had some good football games. We've got a couple coming up this week, some really fun stuff on the field, some weird Eli Apple trolling off the field afterwards. Oof, that's been, yeah. been very strange, that's this week, but, yeah, man, I'm doing great. Listen, we have three games of football left for the rest of the season if we don't count the Pro Bowl. And that's sad. But you know, we're in the good part of the season here. Packers are not in it, but man, I'm doing great. I'm enjoying the games for the most part and excited about the games this weekend. And I don't know, we'll see what happens when the games stop. But for now, man, I'm having a ball.
Yeah, Dusty, you kind of took your last part of your answer there was kind of what I was going to say. I mean, yes, we're in the now just hectic part of the Packers off season where they're no longer playing. And since there was an early exit this year, it just seems to have arrived a bit earlier than usual, but I'm all right. Like you said, Dusty, not trying to pay attention to everything. You know, I'm keeping up with the news just because I'm interested in the team and we obviously have a podcast. So we talk about the team. But I'm enjoying the football that is occurring and I am going to soak that in because I know 3 months from now, I'm going to miss it with all my heart and I'm having a good time. I know the games, you know, weren't the greatest this past weekend, but I still found them pretty entertaining. And I think, you know, the two matchups this weekend are going to be incredible. I mean, there's a lot of promise there and yeah, I'm feeling good. I know a lot of people are all upset, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with you guys. I don't know if I take more stock in it, but I do on some level like pay attention to it a little bit more. And you know, some of the crazy ass takes that get thrown out there that you know the Packers and Cowboys should trade Dak Prescott for Aaron Rodgers from Skip Bayless. That was a good one. The insanity and the contradiction that you see within like an hour of each other is just, it always makes me laugh of like, you know, the Packers are not going to be training Aaron Rodgers at all to an NFC team to, you know, that's stupid. Of course they would entertain all offers, probably not from the NFC North, but you know, they'll entertain all other offers. So it's just madness and it's chaos and it's something I'd still pay attention to. Sadly, like I don't let it affect my mental health as much, but man, it's been like a week and I'm already exhausted from all of it. So until this happens, and I'm assuming, you know, the trade or the non-trade is going to take a little while. It's not going to happen quick. So we all need to buckle up because I think we're in for a ride with Aaron Rodgers for like the 50th offseason in a row. I think it's just going to keep happening. So, but on a positive note, the Green Bay Packers have a member of the all-rookie team. Guys, I don't know if you know who that is.
Is it someone that you're a big fan of?
I have a really big smile on my face.
You could just tell by the way that you're talking that you're smiling.
Yes, Quay Walker, named to the all-rookie team. So super exciting. He had a really, really good season, and you saw him progress throughout the year. Obviously, there was a few hiccups along the way, a few emotional things to hopefully clean up a little bit. But what? It's a minor issue. He didn't even get suspended. All right, yeah, laugh it up. Yeah. Laugh it up, Chuckles. You talk about Quay Walker for a minute.
I will. No. I'm fine. I'm just laughing. You keep going, man. This is your moment, Steve. This is your moment, baby.
Okay, number one, please don't ever call me baby again.
No, no, I will not agree to that.
Outstanding. Outstanding. No, it was just as somebody who has always been beating the drum for the inside linebacker group, like he really looks like somebody who started to kind of get Joe Barry's defense. And by the end of it, apparently Joe Barry's going to be sticking around for another year. So he'll have that good understanding, doesn't have to learn a new defense, and hopefully can really grow in that role. And yeah, outside of that, I'm excited to see what he can do in year two. Sarah, any Quay thoughts for us?
No, I mean, good for him. You've been excited about him pretty much since he was drafted, and there was a lot of promise, and I know he dealt with injuries on and off, but it seemed like he, on the field at least, lived up to the hype and that he was able to perform. And like you said, he was one of the few bright spots on the defense throughout the season. And, you know, I think, yes, there are definitely some changes that need to be made off the field and just mental mistakes on the field as well. But if he's able to mature in that way, and I'm sure the team is working closely with him on that, then I think he really could turn into a great player for the Packers and one of the best in his position in the league.
So, yeah, hopefully he continues to grow into that role and becomes, like, top-tier linebacker for the Packers. That'd be huge because I think in watching the playoffs, at least, you know, you watch Fred Warner for the 49ers, you see that impact that high quality of an inside linebacker can make all throughout the field. So, you know, high hopes for him. Sarah, let's dive in. Pat McAfee Show with Aaron Rodgers. There was some stuff said today, and let's just have you dive in, give us some of the highlights, lowlights, whatever you want to call them, and tell us what number 12 was talking about this week.
Sure. So I'm just going to, you know, I'll run through it like I usually do, but I have some more exact quotes this week just because many of them were very interesting. But, you know, he was on a little under an hour this week, opened it up talking about how he's playing in the Pebble Beach Pro golf tournament coming up here soon. He had taken a couple of years off, and now he's back. So he's looking forward to doing that. And then after that, they kind of jumped into things right away about, you know, hey, I made a decision. What's going on? All these rumors, especially this morning, circulating that you're going to be traded, that there are teams that are interested, things like that. And he basically said that people like to have a hero and a villain. And he said, I think because of my stance on COVID and other things, I've been cast as the villain. And then went on to say that the media is painting him in a certain way because of his opinions on things. Mentioned that he isn't playing the victim about that, but he actually likes being cast in that sort of way because it motivates him to work harder, to achieve greatness, things that he's talked about before on this show. They did address his comments from last week's discussion with Pat McAfee about how, you know, he still thinks he can be the MVP. He talked a lot about being the MVP, and there were a lot of members of the media, some former players, Gronk was one of them, that were pretty outspoken about that said, you know, you shouldn't just want to win MVP, you should want to win championships. That was talked about a little bit with Dusty and me last week, where we gave some additional context because a lot of people were just running with the quote. And I said, hey, he did say that they want to win championships after the fact. But, you know, Rodgers said everybody wants to be MVP. Yes, you want to win championships, but in any sport, you know, you want to be recognized as the best of the best. You want to be the best player on the field. And he was very straightforward with his answer. He said anyone in any sport that denies that is lying because you want to be the best. As far as his decision, no surprise here because he told us this last week, he's still trying to make a decision and take all of the emotion out of it so that he can do what's best for him. As he said before on this show, the grass isn't always greener is the cliche, but he said the grass is greener where you water it. So a lot of people assume that means it's over, a breakup is happening, that he's leaving, but who knows at this point. Once again, was very complimentary of the Green Bay Packers organization, teammates, the memories that he's made over the years. You know, he said, there's no animosity between me and the organization. He loves Green Bay. He loves the city. He loves the culture. He loves the people. You know, he mentioned his ownership with the Milwaukee Bucks and how, you know, even well after he's retired, gone from the region, that he will be involved because of that. And just because, you know, that Green Bay continued to invest in him, take chances on him, and he'll always be grateful for that. Another big talking point from this week's Pat McAfee was that they talked about his contract. As I'm sure most of you know listening to this, he has about $60 million that he's owed from the Packers or another team that would need to pick that up if he were traded. And he said, I don't think there would be a scenario where I'd come back and that would be the number. I think definitely things would have to shift. So that was, you know, in my opinion, one of the most noteworthy things that was shared. It was an actual update amongst many non-updates. It was, hey, yeah, I know I'm not going to get paid that number, and things are going to have to change, whether it's in Green Bay or somewhere else. And to wrap up, they talked a little bit about the teams that are left. They talked about Mahomes and his injury, you know, that high ankle sprain, which is always really, really tough to come back from. And Rodgers, you know, he said, you know, I knew he was going to come back. As soon as he got hurt, you know, he's Patrick Mahomes. He's going to go out there and compete as long as he can. You know, he said people that are skeptical that he's going to play this weekend are crazy. He's absolutely going to play. He's going to be out there fighting through it. They also talked about Joe Burrow. You know, he said he spoke to Joe Burrow last year just briefly after the Packers and the Bengals played, but he's never met him or really talked to him outside of that, but that he loves watching him play. You know, he definitely has that star power, but he's also really just even-heeled, and that's required in the greats, is that not only do you have to have the talent, but you have to have that sort of mindset. And then talked a little bit about Zach Wilson as well, because they're apparently pretty close, have a decent relationship, and so talked a little about what that looks like, some advice he's given him. And then they closed the show showing some of Rodgers' high school highlights, which is actually quite entertaining. So, you know, if you want to check it out, I would definitely look at the last 5 minutes of the YouTube segment of the Aaron Rodgers Tuesday this week. One of his teammates was just absolutely dominating everyone. And he mentioned that, you know, he really only played football that year and then he went and played soccer. So it was kind of funny to watch. And there were also some highlights from when he was at Butte Community College. So a little trip down memory lane to end Pat McAfee this week.
Sarah, I believe that's pronounced butt. That's pronounced butt.
But.
Is it?
No.
I was like, I thought it was Butte. Like, have I been blind to this the entire time?
All right. Thank you, Sarah, for doing that. That's always interesting to hear what Aaron Rodgers has to say, for sure. I don't know who is making him out to be the villain besides himself at this point, but, you know, always interesting to hear the thoughts of him. I mean, he's a fascinating person, and, you know, even if he's not a member of the Packers, I'm sure we'll all be listening in to see.
He's a complicated fella.
He is a complicated fella. He thinks of himself a lot, and, you know, had some thoughts on him after, you know, kind of all the things that have gone down over the last year or two, and the way that he looks at himself and perceives himself. So it's always interesting to see the things that he has to say. So I guess we can kind of leave it at that, but we'll jump in. We got some really good questions this week that we're excited to tackle. So first of all, we'll start off with Spencer. He wants to know, what off-season story are you already tired of? Have an idea for that one. And which one are you most excited for? Sarah, let's start with you.
Yeah, this is really simple for me. Already tired of the Rodgers watch, as many of us on Twitter call it. And which one am I most excited for? When I see the tweet from Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter that says, Aaron Rodgers has been traded, or Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have reached an agreement and it's over. So it's really just that currently and that ending. But, you know, if I had to give a real answer for the second part, it would be just the draft. I know I don't get super into the draft every year, but I am curious just to see what direction they go. If Rodgers is traded, that could present a lot of opportunity, especially in the early rounds. Maybe they can get some weapons that they wouldn't have had the opportunity to before. So that would be something I would be interested, I think, this year, researching, learning a bit more about than I do in other years.
And I'll say, just to mix it up, I know Rodgers is forefront and center. I mean, that's really and truly the answer. I'll go slightly different. I'll just go Joe Barry for what I'm tired about. Because, I mean, listen, it certainly seems like he's going to be back next year, and I don't like it either. I certainly wish they'd I've been fairly vocal about who guys I wish they'd give a chance, give interviews to, try to bring in, and I think the Barry experiment's not working. But we also know that at this point, it's kind of past the point they usually make those moves, which means he's probably going to be back, and I'm not thrilled about it, and I know other people are not thrilled about it either, but I'm at a point where, listen, man, I cannot waste energy thinking about this stuff, about moves I wish they'd make when it's clear they're not going to make them. So I'm kind of tired of the complaining about Joe Barry because, listen, man, we know he's not good. Defense likely will not be better next year, but he's likely going to be back, and I can't spend any more energy on it. So that's what I'm kind of tired of. And then excited about, and kind of the same thing as Sarah, not just draft. I'm more post-draft. I like – yeah, the pre-draft process is good. A lot of people cover the draft. I like kind of usually the couple weeks leading up to the draft, getting into some of those bigger guys and, you know, really trying to at least very least first two rounds, getting a good feel for those guys. But really, it's just, what does the Packers squad look like post-draft? Because you get kind of all the lead up to that. You have all the moves. But by post-draft, you kind of know, okay, here's the guys. Here's more or less the team that's heading into next year. And you get a pretty good direction of what the team's going to look like. So that's kind of where I'm at. It's just the post-draft. I mean, really like the second the last pick from day three is in, I'm like, all right, man, this is it. That's when I really get excited.
Actually, yeah, I think you guys both covered my answers, but I'm already tired of the Rodgers stuff. Like, I just want an answer. And then what I'm really excited for, I get excited for the draft itself. Like, that is still one of my favorite events, where it's 3 days in a row and you get to see all the trades and all the, like, who gets cut and who, you know, who's drafted and all this kind of stuff. Like, I find that stuff fascinating throughout the entire NFL, but also just, you know, what the mind of Brian Gutekunst is thinking and what he's planning for the Packers. And you start to see that unfold a little bit more. And then, you know, Dusty gets to go crazy on like all like the write-ups and everything on the players and everything. But I just, you know, get excited for the draft. So for me, that's what I'm looking forward to the most now.
Not to stray too far away, but speaking of the draft, it just reminded me of good memory when, you know, I guess it would be the 2021 draft, where we all woke up to that Schefter tweet, you know, Aaron Rodgers has become so disgruntled with the Green Bay Packers organization. And that night, Steve and I were watching the draft together on, it was probably Skype, Zoom, I don't even remember what it was at this point. And we were just waiting and waiting and waiting for a trade or something. And then finally the Packers, what did they end up doing? Did they end up trading out? I don't even remember what happened at this point. But we just, I mean, it had to be 3 hours. We just sat on Zoom together and it was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, because I had to watch the ABC stream on the TV. And I was like, God, like, does anybody have a link for ESPN? Because like I even have ESPN Plus, and that still doesn't allow you to watch the draft through ESPN streaming, which is just dumb. And so Sarah's like, here, I'll Zoom my computer screen or TV screen and we'll watch it together. So we legit just, we didn't talk for like, you know, whenever the TV was on, and then like commercial breaks, we would talk about what was going on. But yeah, that was ridiculous. Okay, next question. We've got Parker Eves wants to know, who needs a bounce back third season more, Josh Myers or Eric Stokes? Also, what is your go-to midnight snack? So Dusty, we'll start with you.
I'll not necessarily cheat, but I'll go Josh Myers just because I feel like we have a decent feeling in who he is because we've seen more of him. I know he missed a lot of that rookie year, but the second year we saw some highs, we saw some lows, just kind of he was inconsistent. I think Stokes was really good his rookie year. And then the second year, I've talked about it before. I mean, progress, especially with cornerbacks, is not linear. So you kind of expected a bit of a fallback in year two, maybe not necessarily as much as he did, but then he got injured. We didn't see much of him. So I kind of just expect Stokes to bounce back a little, maybe not to year one, but at least like come back a little bit. He regressed, and I expect more of him in year three. Josh Myers is just kind of one of those guys. I mean, where they drafted him and who they had an opportunity to get during that time, even at the center position, I think Creed Humphrey went a pick or two after that. Just kind of this, you need hit that guy in the middle of the line, you know, with Lindsley leaving and all of that. You need that offensive lineman. You need that core guy in the middle of the line to do well. And we just have not seen the consistency out of him. So I think just for what we've seen out of him in his career so far and what he can be, and kind of even that second year where you expect that consistency to level out a little bit more, and it just didn't. I'll go Myers, just because I'd like to see a little bit more. And then go to midnight snack. I feel like we've talked about this on here before because it's food. So of course we have. I'll just go like, I don't know, Goldfish crackers. They've got, because we've got them in the house because I got children. They've got, it's like vanilla cupcake Goldfish crackers that are basically like graham crackers that are so, so good. So I will go with those. I'll just go in the kitchen and grab a handful of those, and I'm very happy.
For me, I'm going to go the other way on this, and I'm going to say Eric Stokes. And I think strictly from a need standpoint. So the Packers, their offensive line, they're able to shift people around. Guys can play multiple positions. There's some more flexibility there. And that's pretty much every year, right? There's always injuries. Things are happening, especially the last 2 years with Bakhtiari and how fluid that situation was. You know, he'd be playing, he wouldn't be. The guys had to be ready. They had to be flexible. As far as Eric Stokes and playing in the secondary, that's just an area where the Packers, they need more. You know, Jaire Alexander can't do anything or can't do everything. Rasul Douglas, you know, he didn't have as great of a year this past year. And it's just an area where they get exposed a lot. And so I think Eric Stokes needs to show up in this third season more, because if he doesn't, it's more detrimental to the Packers and what they do, and could really cause problems. So that's kind of the way that I thought about it. But Dusty, absolutely see your point as well. My go-to midnight snack, it's changed, recently. So I have been just missing the snack wrap from McDonald's so much that I am taking matters into my own hand, and I'm making a homemade version, using chicken tenders that I throw in the air fryer, and then just, you know, lettuce, cheese, ranch that I have with the tortillas. So there's been several times now where my boyfriend and I are hanging out, and, you know, it's 11:30, midnight, and we're like, oh, we're watching a movie, we're hungry, and we throw those in there. Hits the spot every time. Absolutely delicious, and would definitely recommend.
Am I allowed to say both? I mean, I know they want an answer, but I mean, both of those answers are correct that both of you guys gave. Like, I don't know if it's one more than the other. Like, Myers, you know, he was drafted to be the center of the future, and he's widely, I'd say, disappointed so far. Like, he's had some moments, but when you're drafted like that, where you are, like, they expect you to start, and they expect you not to grow in that role, as opposed to having those hiccups, those problems that he did. So that, and then Eric Stokes, yeah, again, they need him to be that guy, like Jaire 2.0, for this defense to be even better. And I think he may be like an underrated guy that they were missing this year, you know, with that injury. And he did so much as a rookie that we all kind of just anticipated and slotted him in as cornerback two, and that he was just going to do it again, and it wasn't going to be an issue, and then nobody was going to be able to throw the ball against the Packers because they had Jaire and they had Eric Stokes. And, well, we all saw how that went. So I would say they both really, really do need to have bounce back years for the offensive line and the defensive backfield to be better. And go-to snack for midnight, probably right now I'd say pickles. That's been – we've got the baby dill pickles from the Milwaukee company that I got to normally have like a jar in the fridge and then a jar as backup in the pantry. So those are always some good ones to go to. Next question is from Brian. Which person in the current Packers organization would you like to be paired with in Last of Us apocalypse scenario? All right, somebody's going to have to explain this one to me.
Post-apocalyptic zombies, man. Just think. I mean, there's more to it than that, but just think zombies.
Zombies, okay. All right. Sarah, do you have an answer?
Yeah, I do. It's the perfect pair. So first, I'm going with Keyshawn Nixon. Clearly, he's fast. He can dodge tackles. So if we're running away, he can lead the way. If he's going to grab food, weapons, whatever it is, so that we can stay alive, he'll be able to get there and return it without being tackled or attacked. So, and then the second person would be his coach, Passaccia. I think that he is just a crazy football guy, and that in apocalypse,
you only get one.
I thought it was two.
It says who you're paired with.
Yeah,
that means one.
Oh, well, then it would be Nixon. It would be Nixon.
Okay. Yeah, and for me, I'm gonna go Kenny Clark, man. Listen, I've watched enough zombie movies to know there are, you can survive with all types of different people, but surviving with a large man who seems nice, but is also, you know, I think he trained in MMA, so he can ward off kind of these roving band of people trying to rob and murder and all that, but also can elude and take out hordes of zombies if he needs to. So you need one of those guys in your crew. So I'll go Kenny Clark.
I think I'm going to take Devontae Wyatt just because he can just hide in the background like he did for this year of the Packers. Nobody knows he's around. But if he does get noticed, he's a huge dude and can push people out of the way, can move stuff for us, and, you know, all around just kind of make sure that he takes care of me. So I think that's who I'd go with. Next question, Joe C. Keep trade cut players 12, 33, 69. And cookies, chocolate chip, Oreo, and sugar cookie. So, Dusty, let's start with you. We keep cutting trade. Oh, man.
I'm going to keep Bakhtiari. I know he's had all the injury stuff, but when he's out there, he's still very good. And if we look at this in terms of if we're looking at the future, if you have Bakhtiari for another year, maybe 2 years, we'll say, something along those lines, having that guy for either your aging quarterback or a young quarterback, you know, just throwing that out there, having a guy on the blind side taking care of you is huge, but also, you know, some guys could learn from him. So I'll keep Bakhtiari. I'm going to trade Rodgers just because that it's in the air anyway. You know, I think a normal year, maybe not, but since it seems like maybe that's the way it's going, who knows? But he's certainly got maybe 1 or 2 years left in him, and they've got a guy sitting on the bench that maybe could come in and do some stuff that he can do. I will trade Rodgers because, you know, if the Jets are willing to give up 2 first-round picks, which is one of the not necessarily reports, but one of the rumors floating out there, I would have to take that. And then, sadly, that means I'm cutting Aaron Jones. And that comes down to just he's got a year left on the deal. I don't think they're going to extend him. He's entering he's going to be 30 pretty soon. So I'll go
Doesn't
cut
he have
Jones.
2 years left on his deal?
I think he's got one in a void. No, I think he just got in with his third year on that. I think we can look that up, but I'm pretty sure he's got 1 year left on that deal.
Okay.
And then for cookies, I'm going to keep chocolate chip. It's a classic. Can't go wrong with chocolate chip. I'm going to trade Oreo because I wanted to make sure that it goes to someone who's going to appreciate it. So I'm going to work out a nice team-friendly deal for Oreo, let it pick its location and all that. We'll go that route. And then we're going to cut sugar cookie because sugar cookies are fine. But let's be honest. Sugar cookies are sugar cookies. There's nothing special about them. I'll just recap. Keep Bakhtiari, trade Rodgers, cut Jones. Keep chocolate chip, trade Oreo, cut sugar cookie.
For me, I'm going to trade Aaron Rodgers just exactly for the same rationale that you had, Dusty. It seems like that's actually a very possible scenario in the current state of the Green Bay Packers, so it doesn't seem too far-fetched. I'm going to cut Bakhtiari. It pains me to do that, but in this scenario, this is just what I feel my gut is telling me to do, and I want to keep Aaron Jones. Love Aaron Jones. Think he's, you know, I know he's getting on the older side, but he doesn't really seem to show any signs of slowing down right now. If they think they have something good with Love and they have some good, you know, wide receivers with Watson and Dobbs, then it would be nice to have, you know, that duo in the backfield still as well with Jones and Dylan. And then for cookies, I am also going to cut the sugar cookie for the same reasons that Dusty said. Like sugar cookies, nothing against them, but they're just not the best cookie out there. And then I'm actually going to keep the Oreo and trade chocolate chip because chocolate chip is universally loved, and I think it has high trade value, so I might be able to get something good in return.
Oh, this is outstanding because I actually can copy both of your answers, where I copied Dusty's answer for the players, where if you trade Aaron Rodgers, you're just going to get the most value. That's the thing that I think about in this whole scenario, is you're going to get hopefully multiple number ones and maybe a player or in a couple other picks. So nobody else is going to fetch that return. So that's who I'm trading. As much as I love Aaron Jones and what he can bring, running backs are a lot easier to replace than left tackles. And so if you've got a couple more years of David Bakhtiari with his adapted practice schedule, that's what I think is possible to do. And then, Sarah, I'm going to copy your cookie answer and keep the Oreo, trade the chocolate chip cookie, and then cut the sugar cookie.
Great All question. Right.
Yeah, it was a really good question. All right, guys, apparently we've reached this part of the off season. It's not even the off season technically because it's still going on, but Chris Butler, buddy, I'm not trying to be mean by any means. This is a good thing to talk about because I'll just read it. Extremely implausible, but considering the entanglement with Goot 12 and the current state of this team, should Green Bay go all in on Sean Payton and give him whatever he wants if he would come to Green Bay?
Steve, yeah. Why don't you take this? You seem like you have some strong opinions about it.
No. They should not give Sean Payton like $20 million a year, fire a really, really good, like highly talented head coach that they currently have, and then give up. Like Dusty, what'd you say? He wants to have like GM rights, basically, not be the GM, but I can't remember
if he's basically said it. He's fine having a GM, but he basically wants say in every single thing and likely will have control over that. He'd be working with the GM, but it's more or less his say in a lot of those personnel moves, would be my understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. In the, like, I'll give it to Chris. He says extremely implausible. So I'm going to give this a 0% chance of happening. Not even a 0.1% or anything, but no, I don't think that's going to happen at all. Does anybody have anything to add? Any thoughts of how this might happen?
It's my only thought, and I brought this up ahead of time. He paid Taysom Hill lots of money. Like, no, I'm good. I don't need anyone that's going to come in and be like, you know who we need to pay is Taysom Hill. I'm good off that. We're good.
Okay. Brian wants to know, he first of all wishes us a happy 4-year anniversary. So thank you to Brian for that. Your journey together started 4 years ago. If you could go back in time, what advice would you give yourself going into the podcast endeavor? He does have a food question, but we kind of think we've already answered that one a few times. So, Sarah, I'll start with you. What advice would you give yourself going back in time for the podcast world? Besides get different partners.
Yeah, I think it would just – no, that's the last thing I would do. But I think it would just be not to take it so seriously at the beginning. And obviously, I was pretty nervous. I didn't really know what I was jumping into. I'd only done one other podcast with Andy and then said, hey, I want to do more. And that's kind of how it began. So I would always do just tons of prep and, you know, take all these notes before. And then as soon as we'd get on and we'd start talking, I'd barely even look at them because our best episodes and our best conversations have always been where, yes, we're knowledgeable about the topic and we know what we're talking about. And we've done, you know, the necessary research and read the stories that we need to. But when we just kind of go off script and have fun with it and joke and laugh and have a good time, those are always the best episodes that we put out, the best episodes for me recording. And so I would just tell myself, like, don't worry about trying to have all of the information perfect. Just go in there and have fun.
Yeah. For me, I mean, cause I did a podcast before this for a year or two, but I think for this kind of the role that I took in this a lot was a lot of the editing after the fact. And so for me, it really comes down for that. It took me a while to really figure out what I want to do as far as streamlining the editing and my process for that and kind of how I take that into account, whether that's, you know, getting rid of kind of silencing some stuff, getting rid of some different pauses, the different effects I use to kind of try to bring the audio a little closer together so we don't have these wild swings. It took me a while to really figure out what I was doing there and do a process that didn't take me 2 hours to edit that stuff. So I think that was it for me, is just kind of where I'm at now. And I can get better at that for sure. But just streamlining the editing process so it wasn't such a huge lift week after week to kind of get that. And no, that's on me. I'm the way I kind of look at this and the way I approach that, it's I think I care a little more about trying to get the sound at a part where I want it to be, and no one else, I don't think, cares about that, even if people listen. So but I think just streamlining that process and just making getting it to a point where I'm comfortable with it without taking 2 hours to get there, I think would be my big thing.
I would say, if you're really serious about podcasting, invest in yourself. Like, the stuff isn't super expensive. Most likely you already have a computer, but buy yourself a good microphone. That makes a world of difference. And the first one I ever bought was like $15 on Amazon, and it was cheap, and you could tell it was cheap. And now I've got one of the nicer ones. And if you shop the sales of Amazon and, you know, like Black Friday deals, whatever, you can get a really, really nice microphone for $50. And the sound quality is so much better. And, you know, like Dusty said, if you invest a little bit into some editing software, if you're really going like full force, that's definitely the way to go. Cause that way, when your product comes out and sounds like authentic and real and like professionally done, as opposed to it sounds like something that is recorded in your basement with your friend, people seem to take that a little bit more seriously. So yeah, I would say take that investment of a couple $100 and, you know, get yourself some good editing equipment. Even soundproof a room if you can, like that makes the world of a difference as well. But you know, a good microphone can go a long way. Oh boy, guys, this one feels like it's attacking me personally, but Ray Dempster, what is your worst Packers take ever? Full disclosure, and in the spirit of the times, here's mine. I thought the Packers should stick with Favre, and that maybe Brian Brohm and not Rodgers was the future QB1. So now I just trust the good folks at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. I mean, I think we all know what mine is. Like, it's
your take was question, so bad.
What is it, Steve? Yeah. I don't think I remember.
It was the moment you said your take, Steve. Me and Sarah both like, you're insane. That's a bad take, Steve.
Yeah. For those of you who hadn't been listening the whole time we've ever been recording, when Antonio Brown was like a free agent or he was about to be traded or whatever, I was pounding the table that no matter his checkered past, that the Packers should trade for Antonio Brown or sign him as a free agent. Oof, that was rough. That was a rough one. That was probably my worst. Yeah, that was my worst one ever. To be fair, eventually I did come off of that a couple of weeks later, realizing how bad of a mistake it would be. But there were a few weeks there where I was like, no, whatever. It doesn't matter what he did. It doesn't matter what he did. They need to get talented wide receivers around Aaron Rodgers. And yeah, I'm glad I'm wrong. I'm glad I was wrong on that one. And the Packers didn't listen to me on that.
Yeah, don't track us into that.
Yeah, seriously, don't lump us in with you.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, don't put that on me and Sarah.
All right, Dusty, what's your worst take ever?
Mine, and this was, you know, there's no audio evidence of this because this was pre-podcasting days. I thought the McCarthy hire was a bad hire. And so at the time, I mean, the reason was, so I can't remember where he was before. I think he's with the Saints. And the year before he came, he was the offensive coordinator for 1 year in San Francisco. And they were the worst offense in the league by a mile. I went back and looked this up. So Football Outsiders DVOA, like historically bad offense, that year they were 32nd in the league on offense. The gap between them and the 31st team, who was the Jets that year, is the same gap between the Jets at 31 and the Panthers at 14. That's how bad they were. That's how big that gap was. Remarkably bad. And I was like, this is a bad hire. What are they doing? Of course, they go on to have, you know, Favre has one of his best years of his career. The second year under McCarthy, they win the Super Bowl in 2010. So very bad take. I actually looked up to see who else was hired in 06. I remembered some of them. Sean Payton, which, you know, his name just came up. Gary Kubiak, he did pretty well with the Texans that year. Brad Childress, decently with the Vikings. And then after that, buddy, it gets rough. Eric Mangini with the Jets, Rod Marinelli with the Lions, Scott Linehan with the Rams, Art Shell with the Raiders, who I don't think lasted the season, and then he was replaced by Lane Kiffin, Herm Edwards with the Chiefs, and Dick Geron with the Bills. Basically, it was McCarthy and Peyton, and then like everyone else. So that was a very bad take because he was clearly one of the best hires of that class. So very bad take. That was not not recorded audio, so I get to skate by on that one a little bit.
Yeah, and sadly, mine was on this podcast, and we joked about it for a couple weeks after it was proven very wrong, a very cold take. I said that there was no way that the Packers could keep Aaron Jones last year. There was no way that they could make it work with cap and all of that, and it just seemed like all signs were pointing to a departure. And, you know, I even said something along the lines of, you know, if I'm wrong and he's back on the Packers, I might as well never come on this podcast again because I feel so confident about it. And then a couple weeks later, he was confirmed, signed that new contract, and I issued a fake resignation. Wow, Sarah, really, words are tough. From the show. I scared Steve because at the end I was like, this will be my last episode. And his face was like, what? And we brought it all back together. But that would definitely be my my worst take on this show.
And in the scale of bad takes, yours is like way down on the totem pole comparatively to mine. So don't even feel
bad. Yeah, basically it was like, I'm a dumb idiot who, you know, I don't know ball. And
Sarah guessed wrong. And I said the Packers should bring in Antonio Brown.
So, yeah. And it was like not long after. I remember Steve was like, we should bring in Antonio Brown. I mean, Sarah was like, he almost killed a toddler with a TV like a week ago, dude. What are we talking about here?
This was that was so early into our podcasting days. And as a podcasting team, that was one of the first times where I'm like, you know, we really might be on to something as a trio here, because the absolute madness that ensued from that, we were screaming at each other.
I think we saw the damage we could do when one of us teamed up on the other one. When we tried to bully another person, that's when we discovered our power there, right there.
You're stupid, and we're going to tell you that you're stupid together.
And here we are a couple years after, still talking about that same exact moment.
The formula still works. It really, really does. All right, we got one last question from Matt Pickett. You've just won a contest in which you get to attend the Super Bowl and spend all weekend with any two people employed by the Packers. Who do you choose and why? And bonus question, my kids have a snow day tomorrow. What's your favorite snow day memory or equivalent, Sarah? So apparently Matt is assuming that Dusty has had snow days. I don't know if that happens for him in Kentucky, but
it does.
It does. Okay. Well, Dusty, we'll start with you. Who would you go to the Super Bowl with the Packers?
Listen, man, I know he's under heat right now. He's under fire. Futures in question, all of that. I'm going the floor on Rodgers. So first of all, Rodgers is a guy that he gets into any party he wants to. Not that I go to a lot of parties, but if there's any cool Super Bowl parties happening that week, I'm in. I get to go to those parties, which is cool. But really, the big thing is, listen, man, I want to sit. I just want to talk, even in passing, about the offensive side of the ball with those two guys. I want to hear the way they talk. I want to hear how they shoot ideas around. I want to hear how they approach those different things. Again, even if it just comes up in passing, I want to be a part of those conversations, if only for a weekend. So that's a fairly easy one for me. I would love to be just even a fly on the wall of those kinds of conversations. And then, yeah, my favorite snow day, we do get snow days here, Steve. I don't know if we get as many of them in Wisconsin, but we also are not as prepared for as much snow. We are prepared for snow, but some big snows were closed down for longer just because we have – where I live is rural Kentucky. There are so many back roads that they just can't get to all of them, and so I would be in a spot that would be clear, but we may have school closed down for an entire week because a bus cannot get down back roads. So my favorite was my parents went to Florida for the week. With a couple of my brothers and my sister, but me and my older brother were all homeschooled. Me and my older brother were in high school at the time, public school. So we had to stay behind. So they left us money, not a ton of money, but they left us money to eat. And they said, all right, we're going to Florida. You guys have to stay here. And then it was closed for the whole week. School was at closed for the whole week. And so being high schoolers with money in our pockets, really all we did was stay up till 2 a.m. and sled. And then just eat just live off of chips and salsa the entire week. So really living wild and crazy. But that was a fun week, man. That was a fun week.
And for me, first person would be Brian Gutekunst, and I'd just say, give me the tea. tell me how you actually feel about this Aaron Rodgers guy. What's actually going on? You know, who are you thinking about, you know, in the draft, and try to get some insight there. I just, you know, he holds a lot of information, and I'd like to just pick his brain a little bit, learn more about, you know, what his vision for the future is, and, you know, how they're pulling the pieces together. What he thinks of Jordan Love. Does he regret the pick? Does he think, you know, it's going to be a worthwhile investment? So I'd love to hear from him. And then the other, just, you know, it's just a fan favorite of mine, you know, AJ Dillon. He just seems like an awesome guy. Seems like he has a ton of fun. You know, I've had that privilege talking to him a couple times when I did the Cheesehead TV Mondays a while back, and he just seems super cool. So be fun to hang out. And probably, you know, he's very into food and all that, so there'd probably be a great spread at whatever, you know, party or event we were at. And for me, yes, you know, shocking to no one, we don't have any snow days in Florida. And, you know, we don't, like, we get off school and or work for when there's a hurricane, but it's not necessarily the same feeling as a snow day, because it's, you know, pretty serious situation. But there was a time, I don't even remember how old I was, but I remember I was young, because I don't remember all the details. It's escaping me, but there was a tropical storm. It wasn't quite a hurricane coming. And I grew up on the east coast of Florida. And so they had canceled school out of precaution. It was towards the very beginning of the school year. So, you know, I was still kind of on summer mode, didn't want to be there, hadn't settled into my routine schedule yet. And then so they canceled school. We're not going to school. We're all staying home. And then we all woke up and it's a beautiful day. It's sunny. There was a slight breeze, and the storm had ended up just kind of rolling off the coast and into the Atlantic Ocean, and just went out there and basically broke apart. So I had a great day, hung out with some friends, and got the day off of school. So that's really the only scenario where, you know, a storm day has worked out and been positive, because usually, you know, there's a lot of cleanup and just, you know, waiting for the power to turn back on and things like that after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, I like both of your answers. Obviously, with LaFleur and Rodgers, you're like Dusty said, that gets you anywhere in the Super Bowl whatsoever. Like, you're just anywhere you want to go, you can go. But for me, I think I would go a little bit like Sarah. I would say Brian Gutekunst, but then instead of AJ Dillon, I want David Bakhtiari, because I think that is the guy that's going to get Brian Gutekunst drunk enough to talk about the things that I want to know about. Like, he's not, like, I feel like he's too buttoned up that he's not going to give you the answers right away. But if Bakhtiari is there and pounding beers with him and, like, you know, peer pressuring and chugging beer, like, I think there's enough peer pressure for him to, and he's a big enough dude that he can make Brian Gutekunst, you know, have a couple, one or two too many beers, that he would start spilling the tea about everything and what's going on inside the organization that never gets out into the world. So those would be the two guys. And then as far as snow days go, I mean, we had a bunch in Wisconsin. I would say probably one of my favorites, though, of all time was I was in Chicago for the snowpocalypse back in like the mid-2000s. And, you know, like when there was snow that was so tall that you couldn't see your car anymore. And so, you know, I won't go into detail about the things that you know, but I was able to stay home and didn't have work and, you know, played some Nintendo and all sorts of good stuff. So it was a lot of fun of just, you know, a whole long week, like a couple extra days off of work where you didn't have to do anything. And you, had a lot of fun. So that would be my best snow day memory, I would say. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up, guys. This was a lot of fun, you know, bringing up horrible memories of bad takes that I had and, you know, talking about the Packers future. So I feel like it was a good episode for not a lot going on in Packers world. But let's wrap this up with some final thoughts. Dusty, what do you got for us?
Yeah, kind of mentioned last week, I was kind of take some time off. I'm actually in the process of upgrading my computer at the moment. So hopefully to get something out, get some of that done and get something out on a couple of the games from this past weekend here in the next day or two. And then I'm working on a piece that's just kind of things I've learned from watching film. And I'm going to kind of go through some different Chalk Talk stuff on different concepts and kind of how that plays into kind of how I've learned about the game and maybe try to help others as well a little bit with that. So hopefully something of that in the next few weeks. But yeah, as I always do, do this kind of year, kind of taking a little time off from writing and figuring out what I want to do in the off season and just kind of spending time away from football and as much as I can, and getting caught up on some movies and stuff. So yeah, I don't know, man. Just, it's, you know, as always, as we always say, just, you know, you don't know what people are going through any given moment in their life. So just, you know, if you can choose to be kind, which we all know we can, just choose kindness.
Yeah. And for me, you know, I'm drinking some tea as we're recording, and I noticed that there was actually a message that was on my tea bag, and it says, "Settling is not an option." And I thought, what a nice message and a good reminder. And I'd love to use that as my final thought, you know, whether it's relationships, jobs, hobbies, whatever it is, you know, if you feel like you're settling, don't let that be an option. You know, always look for the next thing that is going to be better for you, whether it's your physical health, mental health, emotional health, whatever it may be, don't settle. So that'll be my final thought.
I love it. That's great. Yeah. Only other thing I've got, you know, we kind of touched on it. DMs are always open for anybody who wants to talk. If you got anything going on that you're just not comfortable talking to family, or you just need to vent, you know, we're all here. Anybody is more than happy to sit down and talk with you. I know, again, I mentioned, but I've had multiple people reach out and talked to a couple of people through some stuff. So always here to help. But yeah, it's enjoy the last couple of games here that we have before the abyss of no actual football games for multiple months. So enjoy the championship games, have a little fun. We'll be back next week to talk some more Packers and whatever happens as the world turns for Aaron Rodgers and Hat Saga. And but yeah, we'll be back to talk next week with some more Packers football. And as always, go Pack, go.